So this is our second week in our sermon series on epic fails. We're focusing on Lot's wife's failure tonight and this weekend. But I myself am really no stranger to epic failure. So I thought I might start out with a little epic fail story of my own. It was 2006. It was after dark on Ash Wednesday, of all days, actually. It was not quite 10 years ago now. I wish it was 20 years ago or more that I was this dumb, but no. I was in college, and I was completely sober. I borrowed my friend's bike, and I started riding around campus. Just a couple weeks before this particular incident, I had witnessed my friend ride his bike down a series of a long flight of stairs of the big clock tower steps, and he did it like a champ. So I went around campus riding down smaller flights of stairs, five or so steps, so I was ready, of course, for the clock tower. Some may call my little bike ride a big fat fail, and the stitches in my head and the fractured elbow might suggest that that is true. And many of the details from that night are a little fuzzy now, but I do remember that I was found on the ground and taken to the hospital by two very nice and very attractive young women. So I'm calling it a win, right? So. There's some lessons you might learn from my epic failure, like kids, wear a helmet. And adults, too, yeah. And maybe if it's Ash Wednesday, don't go on a joyride. Just come to church. We'd be glad to have you. There's some lessons we can learn from Lot's wife as well, though I honestly don't think that her failure was as dumb as mine. I should probably be the dead one. Our scripture this week is from Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 through 26. It says, "Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." The city of Sodom was where Abraham's nephew Lot had chosen to live. But God had declared to Abraham that he would destroy these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin was so grievous. Abraham then prayed and pleaded with God that the city would be spared, but it was certainly not going to be spared, but destroyed. In God's grace, Lot and his wife and their two daughters were told to escape while they still could, so they set out for safety. Among the instructions that were given to them were, "Don't look back." But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. This mistake of Lot's wife, as epic as it was, I think we can actually all relate to a little. Her whole life was there in that city that she merely looked back at. Her whole life was there, her home, her family heirlooms, that little something her grandmother left her. All her friends and neighbors were left behind in those streets that she herself used to walk. Among the lessons we might need to learn from this unnamed woman's mistake is perhaps listen to God. God knows what's best for us. Some might suggest that the reason Lot's wife's mistake is so serious is that she disobeyed a direct command from God. God said, "Don't turn back," and she turned back. I have to admit, though, that I'm afraid I might have made that same mistake. To go forward without looking back requires letting go of some things. some things that we'd maybe rather not let go of. Letting go can hurt. It takes courage and faith to leave your life behind. I do think that God still might know what's best for us. When we let go of what is holding us down in our old life, it can make room for something more, something better that God has in store for us. Lot and his family were all called by God beyond what remained in Sodom, but Lot's wife looked back. There's a real temptation to look back. We can have that same temptation. After my family moved from Iowa to Kansas, I was a little unhappy about the move. We moved to a small town away from all of my friends. For the first year or more, I made several trips back to Iowa to see my old friends. After a while, though, it became clear to me that I was missing something in my new life in Kansas. I was investing myself in my past and not at all in my future, or in my present even. It wasn't until I let go a little more and invested myself in something new that I was able to develop new and close relationships and live into a new kind of life that I couldn't even have imagined before. For some, this old life might be represented by friends, friendships that are not great for us, or lifestyles, habits, or choices that we make that are bad for us. These are the kinds of things that we have to remember should be left behind so we can move on. I read that the Greek troops, when they were beginning their attack on ancient Troy to rescue Helen, legends say that when they arrived at their destination, before they went to battle, the Greek troops first burnt all their ships. This seems like a little dumb on their part, I think. But what it was a sign of their commitment to the path that they had to take. They had to succeed or perish. God knows what's best for us. It's best for us if we invest ourselves fully and deeply in this new life God has for us. The story of Lot's wife is just a short little story in the Old Testament, but it's a story with a lesson that is echoed over and over again in the New Testament, especially when it comes to following Jesus. Much like the difficult task that Lot and his family were facing when they were called beyond their life in Sodom, Jesus calls disciples to leave their lives in exchange for a life with Jesus. It's not an easy thing Jesus asks of us. Jesus says some really difficult things, and he requires everything from us. When Jesus was carrying out his ministry, many, many people approached him saying that they wanted to follow him. These almost disciples of Jesus would say things like, "I'll follow you wherever you go, but first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus would respond, "Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead." Another almost disciple of Jesus said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say farewell to those at my home." And to this Jesus responds, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus asks us to follow, to keep our eyes on him and give our whole selves to him. Many people gathered to hear Jesus speak and proclaimed that they wanted to be Jesus' disciples. But a great many of them turned back and stopped following him. There's perhaps some almost disciples of Jesus today, too, who go to church and have a Christian necklace or something. But what makes us a disciple of Christ requires more than all that. It requires everything. Our story today of Lot's wife should serve as a reminder for us. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, we have the shortest saying of Jesus in the Bible. Jesus says to his disciples, "Remember Lot's wife." don't turn back. Remember Lot's wife. And then he tells us why we should remember her, the lesson we have to learn from her, clear as day. Remember Lot's wife, for whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So the question is, where are we headed? There's an old hymn that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I'm not under any assumptions that this decision to follow Jesus with no turning back is just a one-time thing. I think it's a reminder that we need often. We need to remember. Remember Lot's wife. Remember where we're headed. When I was younger and being coached on how to play soccer, I was taught that to kick the ball straight, you gotta step out. You gotta plant your first foot in the direction you want that ball to go. First, you gotta take that step. And if you wanna drive to Kansas City, you don't wanna head to Chicago. That's the wrong way. Just the same, when we're following Jesus, we have to take intentional steps to go in his direction. We have to continually invest ourselves, giving ourselves away in this life Jesus is calling us into. With our time, with our gifts and talents, and with all that we have, we give of ourselves. That's the way we move beyond our old life and toward the new. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said, for whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. The Apostle Paul has some helpful thoughts for us that I'd like to close with. It's found in Philippians 3, and if you don't mind, I'd really like for you to join with me in this and say it as sort of a prayer together. So let's join in prayer. I'm not saying that I have it all together, that I have arrived, but I am on my way, reaching out for Christ. By no means do I count myself an expert, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is calling us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Amen.